Man, what next? What's going on? Just got back from vacation, 2 weeks off. It was good to do. We had a good time on a cruise ship. We left from LA and it took 4 days out to get to Hawaii, so we didn't have anything to do for 4 days. So I was in a fetal position for the first 3 days. Then after I recovered, we got a chance to go to Hawaii. I went to almost all the islands there. We went to, I think we started out with Hilo, which is an amazing place, live volcanoes, all kinds of stuff there. And then we got to go on the other side of the island to Kona, which is a beautiful place. That's a stunning place. We went to Maui, which is just, everybody knows what that is. It's great. And then we went to Kauai and a couple other places, but Kauai is amazing. It's just a stunning place to be, but we were there. But I learned some things while we're on the cruise ship. I know when you get on the cruise ship, some of you don't know me. I'm Pastor John. I haven't been here for about a month, so it's good to see you guys. And what they were congratulating for was I just earned my master's degree, Master of Divinity, in June, so they were kind of excited about that, and I'm good with that. I really didn't get on parole, in case you don't know my sense of humor. But if you don't know my sense of humor, you're about ready to get it, so just hope you can laugh a little. So anyways, we got the cruise ship, and it's a different experience, obviously, going on a cruise ship. You get real spoiled. I mean, there's just like nothing that they won't provide you. And for the moment, I'm not used to being served, so I had to learn some things. First of all, I got a citation in the dining room because I tried to clear my own plates. I kept getting in the way of the guy. You know, I have redneck etiquette, which basically means eat everything in front of you and throw the rest away, you know. So I guess there's actually a certain way you have to lean so they can, you know, bring the plates to one side, and then they confuse me and pull the plates from the other side. So that was pretty confusing. But there's like nothing that they won't do for you while you're on the ship. And, you know, you can just call. They bring you room service. And they, you know, I tried to get the cabin steward to massage my feet, but he was just unwilling to do that. But outside of that, it was pretty good. And they always have some events on the ship. They had like different things that you could do. They had like all the services there. You got like shopping. You can go to the mall if you have an addiction there. You can go get like watches and clothes and, you know, all kinds of things there. They have movie theaters there. I got to watch a couple of flicks. I think I watched The Illusionist. That's a trippy movie. I kept thinking I was high while I was watching it. It was such a weird movie. It was just strange. A lot of good quality there, but it was really trip. Then they had one of these emotional movies that I didn't want to get engaged in because I'm not a real chick flick guy. But they had this movie with like Jennifer Aniston in there, and she was kind of had this love thing that went bad, and then I really got moved to tears there. And then I got to watch, I was crying, and she's like, "I don't know, it's just something in the air here in salt water and stuff." Then they had The Devil Wears Prada, and it just kind of reminded me of where I work. That was a little trip. that was kind of wild. But you can do like lots of strange things on the ship. They have lots of like different tours. Like I went snorkeling. I went like on the submarines. You got to go down in Honolulu and see all the shipwrecks that were down there. That was pretty good. Then they'd like bring you drinks like every 5 seconds. There's like somebody walks around with this tray all the time and tried to push you in there. And how old's your son? Yeah. Okay, I think he's okay. So anyways, I got on the thing, and I'm walking with Sue carrying the luggage, just in case, this, you know, please forgive me in advance, but I'm okay when I know people. When I don't know them, I'm like, oops. But anyways, I got on the thing, and the lady goes, you know, would you like to have sex on the beach? And I'm thinking, really? I didn't see that in a tour guide. I wasn't sure that's really what's going on. And then the last thing that was weird is they built this thing called a champagne tower. Anybody ever seen that, a champagne fall, waterfall? Anybody seen one of those? I was trying to understand what all the big deal was. I'm talking about, I'm not cultured at all. So they get everybody like in the center of the ship. And then they kind of build these glasses. They stack them like Uno or something up to the top. And they make this big tower. And then everybody kind of does this lambada lying around while they pour champagne. Each person like pours a bottle into the champagne. And I was thinking, wow, and there's like this whole party. So no one really drinks the champagne, which is good. But they all kind of like dance. It's a celebration. So the maitre d' gets up there and they play different songs and they have these big open court dancing. Now I had a very unusual experience because it's really crowded, really crowded. And I know you guys know me, so you know I got the moves. So I'm pretty popular with the cabin stewards and stuff because when it comes time to all the dances and stuff, I'm like in the line, you know, electric slide. You know, I got that going. I got that. I'm the man with the moves. So they do these different kinds of line dances, you know, the different kinds of things that are going on. And one, you know, YMCA, that kind of thing. And I, you know what I figured out? I figured out if you're like dyslexic when you read, you're dyslexic when you like do the dances. Because instead of doing like YMCA, I was doing like YCMA. Didn't know how it worked. But we got to this one part where, you know, different events are going on. I probably should stop it there at that point to say that you ever have those people that you meet that kind of like really annoy you and stuff? So I met this one guy who was like really kind of like everywhere I went, and he just reminded me of my brother. And, you know, I love my brother, but there's annoying qualities about your siblings too. And this one had all those qualities. And so like he was just wanting to sing carrier. He always had to be the star. Well, unfortunately, when we had that big champagne fountain, this guy was standing like right next to me, and literally, you have no room to move. And they started doing this song, "It's Raining Men," and I guess there's actually like dance moves where it's like, you know, they go, "It's rain, hallelujah, it's raining men," and he's standing like right in front of me. And let me tell you, friends, he really liked that song. I mean, he sang that song with all of his heart. He loved that song. And he liked the motions, too. So I didn't know what to do because he was backing the bus up, and I'm getting a little uncomfortable. I'm not sure what's happening here, you know. But we're really too close for comfort. You know, I'm like, you know, need space. So I did the only thing that any compassionate person would do. I pulled my wife in front of me, you know, so that she could be the blockade. But it was a great time. I just enjoyed myself. Thank you for being patient while we were out. The Lord really kind of moved in our midst. And what I mean by that is that I had time to think, and I kind of felt human about 10 days into it. Like most of you know, I was finishing a graduate degree and doing the church and had family things going on. And I really am grateful for you guys and how you've held the bottom line up and ministered to us too while we were out. I wanted to just spend a couple minutes. Steve's going to be speaking today, but I wanted to just spend a couple minutes just framing something. As you're gone, you have a chance to listen to some of the messages, and whenever you have a guest speaker, sometimes they don't particularly understand the theology of the church, which is very, very important. And theology of full life has always been centered around grace. And it doesn't mean that we do so to the exclusion of holiness. It's just understanding that there are certain, what I'll call no-does, or obvious things in the universe. I've been a Christian a long time. And when someone first gets saved, there's a tendency to kind of be a tad bit legalistic with their discipleship. And so Christianity becomes solely driven off of, you know, doing good, actually trying to do what you couldn't do before you got to be a Christian. There's a lot of driving there that's just based on doing and not just experiencing before God. And actually, if they actually almost minimize downplay the significance of experience in connection to God. And I'm just kind of the opposite way. One of the things that I've kind of come to terms with is my own humanity. And by that, I mean that we all struggle with fallenness. That's to me one of the no-does of Christianity. People are flawed and are fallen short of God's glory, Book of Romans. So that we know. We know by a shadow of a doubt, all of us are here, none of us are perfect, and I really am not interested in full life developing a perfect theology. We are not into perfectionism, which means that we believe that the only way to reach the world is to recognize our own shortcomings. And so we're honest with those shortcomings. We live life out of a real context. You know, we are people that ache and sweat and struggle, just like everybody else. But we know in the Lord who's got the whole of our life in the hollow of His hands. But being in that situation, sometimes it affects how people perceive you. And in one of the contexts, there was just a really strong focus on fallenness, to the degree where I felt that people would kind of be, it would affect how you relate to God. And although we are all those things, you know, we are dust, we are worms, we can never be what we ought to be. That's true in one sense. The other side of it is that kind of wastes the resurrection of Jesus, in my opinion. The resurrection of Jesus was to to provide a way. It wasn't just to be an example of how we should live victoriously. That's important, but it's not the whole of the resurrection message. The whole of the resurrection message is that we can be like Christ. That to Jesus, sacrificial work on the cross, He has made a way for us where there seems to be no way. It's that's covered in the book of Ephesians and Corinthians. I so love Paul's words when he says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, which means that that we have no shame if we are right before God. And friends, if I could just recontextualize that statement just for a minute. Our fallenness does not define our relationship to God. It's our willingness to be before the Lord's presence. There is a haplessness to the human existence. There is a eternal problem that we have, that we're not perfect. And yet Jesus provides the bridge so that we can be acceptable. How many know that it's not about perfection? That the word perfection has actually been misinterpreted. It's about wholeness. It's about being whole in every dimension of the human experience before God. That the blood atones us and brings us into right relationship with God. And so anything becomes possible. I remember the words that stood out to me, the author of the book Amazing Grace, the hymn Amazing Grace. If you've ever heard John Newton's story, he has this part where he recognizes just the fallenness of man, and he realizes that he needs God to bring him into wholeness. And I'm so grateful for the words of Jesus, for the life of Jesus, and for the way He can make wholeness kind of come into our brokenness. And that's kind of what full life is all about. So I wanted to just take time to just let you know that from my heart, that let's not overemphasize the fallenness part. That's a no-duh situation. We have to kind of like be wise in how we live our life. Let's just be real about who we are. But on the other hand, let's also believe God for what He can do, and each one of us who are yielded before Him. So it's not about us being perfect. It's about our willingness to be before the Lord. And that's kind of what I want to share with you about that.